You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Welcome to the Thursday night edition of Eye on the Ball. I guess it's afternoon, not night. How are you, Tom? I don't even know how to explain it. You deserted me yesterday.
I pulled the chute on you, sorry.
So my other Tom played some music that I was like, Tom, what are you doing? I'm going to kill the other Tom.
I'm gonna come up with some real doozies for you, Steve.
So then I'm gonna kill both Toms.
Not in a good way. Yeah, I'm gonna test your patience today with music. Oh, no, I'm kidding. I'm not gonna do that.
Yeah, you wouldn't do that to me. You're one of the good guys.
Gotta keep you on your toes.
Yeah, no, that kept me on my like. What the hell are you talking about? Like, what? I didn't come up with that music.
Nice.
It was like I'm 75 years old and let's kumbaya. No, I don't want that.
I can dig up kumbaya if you like.
No.
Okay.
No,
just checking.
We're fine. Hey, a big show today, or another, I think, fairly good show today. How's that for a setup to kind of pique my listener interest? So yesterday was a good show. We had the Sugar Skulls in you, so you missed a good show.
You know what? I gotta get down to a Sugar Skulls game. I was remiss. I did not catch it last year. I saw the games on TV, but I just never went.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're good. They have it on podcast now if you'd like to see it or listen to it. It's on my website at allsportstucson.com. Jay Gonzalez and Coach Dixie Wooten. Today I'm going to have Arizona Daily Star columnist Greg Hansen on about 6:15, 6:16. We'll talk about tonight's game. We'll talk about the situation with the basketball team, the football team, any other things going on at U of A, maybe local high school sports. I thought his column this week about the freshmen was a very good one, a lot of research, but a very obvious one because freshmen, if you were going to rely on freshmen, good luck with that at any level. I don't care, and we'll talk about this about recruiting, so we'll talk. I don't want to kind of spill my guts here, but I'll wait for him to return or come back on the show here in about 7-8 minutes. Looking forward to that. We'll probably have him for two sections as we get ready for the game tonight with USC and Arizona at the Galen Center. I was around back when they built that thing 10, 12 years ago. It's kind of like a okay place, just a generic nice place. Wasn't too impressed. It was near a great steakhouse, though. A great steakhouse downtown near the Coliseum, which, of course, I didn't like hanging around there either.
It's funny how, Steve, sports writers, or in my case, a broadcaster's opinion, can be very influenced by the local restaurants.
Yes.
How good is an area? Well, what restaurants are
there? Yeah, what restaurant? What's downtown?
Right.
Especially in L.A. And it's, you know, it's not a great area. But it's a great steakhouse because it's in a hotel. Mm. That's all I remember from that time. And USC had a good team every now and again. Maybe one or two unraveling with baby Jordan. I forget his name, Baby Jordan. It'll come to me. Back in probably the early 90s. But USC is not the same team, obviously. They could pull it off tonight. They're a 5-point underdog to Arizona. It's a big weekend for Arizona, though. They got to win the next two if they hope to have any decent shot of a decent seed, final five or worse, or no better than five. Got to stay where they're at, maybe a six or a seven.
Let me throw this at you. I'm just curious to get your response and light the entire city on fire with one question. What if they don't win any of their remaining games?
Oh, is there drug testing here? Did you take your drug testing?
What happens?
Oh, it's disaster.
They still make the tournament, though, right?
Oh, if any more games including the Pac-12 tournament?
Well, so not, I'm talking regular season.
So that's four games?
So there's four games left. What if they go 0-4 in this stretch?
That's disaster.
I'm not saying it's going to happen.
They're like a 12 seed. I mean, it's bad. They'll get in.
They're not going to miss, though.
No, they'll get in, but it'll be not good. But they're not going to lose. They're not going to lose, obviously. This weekend they could lose two and then come back and win two. But still wouldn't be that great. Capable of losing two. I think they'll... I don't know what they're going to do tonight. We'll talk later at the end of the show, and I'll make a prediction. But USC hasn't been kind to them. They went out there last year and they shot poorly against the Trojans, and I think they shot 28%. This year they had a 20-point lead and then barely won by 5. USC closed it to 3. If Arizona can't shoot, which is one of the big things we talked about since, what, December, they're in trouble. And if you're still talking about it since December, guess what? It's a problem.
Yes.
True? My dad used to say, first time's a mistake, second time's a habit. This is like the 20th time. You see a trend?
I do. And because we've sat here and talked about it the entire time. Yeah, it's like, when are they going to shoot?
That's what keeps this show alive. We just continue to talk about them not being able to guard or finish. Or not to shoot or finish.
And you know what, Steve? There's still, and even if, let's say one guy has a good night, let's say Zeke goes out and has a good night, there's no supporting cast there. You know, there's nobody around him picking the play up as well. And that bothers me more than anything else, is the fact that even if one guy does step up and have a heck of a night, then where's everybody else? I haven't seen everybody come and put a game together in a long time.
No, I know. You mean together, everyone?
Right.
Together? Yeah. Collectively? No, I agree with you. I mean, they played, what was the game before? Oregon State, probably their best game overall. But let me tell you, when you're beating teams that aren't that good, you're going to look good. Don't you think? I still think, I use a lot of horse racing analogies. If you're going to have a $100,000 horse running against a $50,000 horse, don't you think the $100,000 horse is going to beat the $50,000 horse
every time? It should.
Every time, and not close by a lot.
But that's not how it works.
No, it's not how it works, but he should do it 9, 10 times out of the 10 times. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I would never pick the $50,000 horse because he's going up against better class and better players and blah, blah, blah. This year's been crazy. Not just locally, nationally.
Yeah.
But that's no excuse locally, you know? I know a lot of people in this business, in my business, still have hope that they'll kind of show up. I don't have any hope. I just don't. I'm in the middle, obviously.
Well, and that's the thing, is for local fans, it's been such a head scratcher.
Because
you can't put your finger on. Yeah, I mean, we could talk about what the issue is, but you can't say this is how you fix it. No. And that's the problem.
Right. Can you really put this what the problem is? Because there's probably a few problems. You can have more than one finger, right? So go ahead and tell me the.
Well, I think, no, seriously, I think if they shot better from the floor on a consistent basis all year, we would not be having half the discussions we do.
So let me ask you something. Sometimes when you're the defender and you limit the other team to 30% shooting, is it because you're defending well or they're shooting poorly? And in the case of Arizona, are they defending them well? Or are they shooting poorly?
And so that's where... So I'm an eyeball test guy. I'm not much into the analytics. I don't know how you stand on analytics.
I go ahead. That's for another discussion.
Okay. I'm not big on the analytics of things. I give it the eye test. Yeah. If it looks like they're pressuring and hurrying shooters, then to me, okay, you're playing good defense. Mm-hmm. If you're limiting them to bad looks or hurried looks, you're forcing them into passes that they don't want to make to try to find an open guy, then yes, you're defending well. Now, if you're leaving a guy wide open on the wing and he's just cold, then no, you're not defending well.
So is Arizona shooting poorly because defenses are on them or because they haven't shot well?
Well, it varies game by game, but I think for the most part, the quality of players they have should be shooting better.
Oh, yeah, no question. I don't think that the defenders are playing that well against them to have them shoot what they're shooting. No, this is one of those who's on first, who's on second.
Right, right.
They should be shooting better no matter the defense, because I don't think the defense is the problem. Make sense?
Yes.
I just want to see if I said it right.
Yeah, so you're saying the opposition defense is not the problem.
No.
It's on the Arizona shooters. Yeah,
yeah. Let's go to a quick break, get a hold of Greg Hansen, and talk more hoops. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, and now on the phone I have Arizona Daily Star columnist Greg Hansen. Greg, how are you?
I'm doing good, Steve. What's going on?
Not a whole lot. Did you spend the day at the golf tournament?
No, but I did spend it at the golf course.
Damn you. But I'm sure the next 3 days will be on the golf course at the Omni?
Yeah. I mean, that's terrific stuff. I really look forward to it.
You must be, I think we talked about this last time, you must be in heaven. 3 days on the golf course, waxing poetic about golfers that you grew up watching, but are kind of your in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, and what a field.
Yeah.
This is the best field you could get in a Champions Tour event. I was going through it the other day, and I figured 19 of the top 20 names are here. The only one who isn't is Vijay Singh. So Judy McDermott's done a heck of a job putting the field together.
Right, no question. The from the celebs to the golfers, yeah. It should be a lot of fun. The weather's going to be spectacular. Judy is praying to the right people because it should be a great weekend.
Boy, we've seen some. Remember the years it snowed at the play championships twice?
Right. Nice, picturesque.
My first year here, it snowed. The tournament was held at Randolph Park. It snowed then.
Right. So, was it late March or late February then?
I think then it was early February. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they've withstood some really bad elements over the years.
Yeah. No, it's going to be a great weekend for golf. It's been good so far. What hasn't been so good has the basketball team. You're realistic in what you write, and I kind of realistic in what I say. Yes. I thought your column this week was very, very good, well-researched, and with the numbers. But I also think that it was very obvious, because if you're a coach, are you going to put all your eggs in one basket?
You know, I agree with that 100%, but then I also think, how do you turn down those three guys?
Right. No, I get it. If you're going to recruit, and we've discussed this ad nauseum for the last 15, 20 years, do you ignore the talent that you need, which is them, and knowing that you have an ego that you can coach, and I'm not just saying Sean, you can talk about Coach K, all these guys, who know they can rein them in and make them better, but knowing that they're not going to be there very long. Do you want to do that?
I think Tucson's proving that unless you're the elite of the elite, like Kentucky and Duke, it's not going to be sustainable, is it?
Well, let me tell you, I don't know if you agree with me, but Calipari is known for doing what he's doing, brings in the one and dones, became famous for it. What does he have to show for it? To me, he's probably one of the most overrated college coaches, and I could just strike me down now with the lightning or whatever, but he's got one title and just a lot of publicity from it.
Yeah, and you know, the thing that strikes me about it when I think of Kentucky is I really can't remember the names of their players.
Oh, yeah, sure.
If I watch an NBA game, which I usually don't, I can no longer match the player with what school he went to because of the one-and-done stuff.
Right. Well, you know the Booker because he was there, and the Embiid and those guys. You have, Anthony Davis? He was good at Kentucky.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you know the big guys, but you don't know the other guys.
Yeah, and I know that's the evolution of college basketball, but you don't have to like it.
Right.
And, Tucson's right in the middle of it, and it's almost like you're stuck. How do you get out of this system? How do you start over? Do you just say, okay, we're going to have maybe two, you know, really not good seasons, and we're going to start a new system?
Right.
Is that what has to happen?
Right. And I've said this before, and I've said this to him when I've written some stories about him. He created the beast. Now he had to feed the beast. In order to feed the beast, you have to do this. Otherwise, you're going to have the fan base, which he doesn't really care. I don't think he cares about it, neither do we. Well, you're not getting five stars. And then you have the other guys saying, well, you don't need five stars. Well, you're not going to please them. For sure. So you go about your business and try to become Xavier again?
You know, I think almost every fan in town would sign up for that.
I do too, given the results last 4 years.
Those years when they matched Aaron Gordon with veteran players like Nick Johnson and then TJ McConnell, it seemed like it was you couldn't do any better.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly there were no more TJ McConnells.
Right.
And now here we are back-to-back years with Justin Coleman as a point guard and PJC as a point guard and Nico Mannion, who is, you know, he's okay, but that's about it. Jeez, so what's next?
Yeah. When you were doing your research, I knew you probably went in knowing what you were going to get. Given the Daytons and the mid-range guys, you know, the middle schools guys, because you knew what you were going to write, and the facts just bared out, they came to light.
The thing that struck me was I watched the end of the BYU win over Gonzaga, and by the end of the game, I thought BYU would beat Gonzaga 2 out of 5 times. So I looked at their roster. I'm familiar with most of them because I'm from there. BYU has always had a guy named Toulson who can shoot and a guy named Hawes who can shoot. And this year, they've got a 7-foot center named Yoli Childs, who's better than almost anybody in the Pac-12. And suddenly BYU can beat anybody because they've got those two shooters who are 24 years old. They both went on Mormon missions. Mixing him with Yoli Childs, and bingo, there they are. I know they can't do this every year.
Right, right. And they have a kid named Barcelo. How happy do you think he is?
I think he's having the time of his life because he's treated better. He's respected. The environment is much more friendly. And, you know, if he would ever go on the record about that, that would be a big story. But I'm sure he won't.
Well, he did kind of say that to the Deseret News, talking about how he kind of was drawn in by the lights and then decided it wasn't for him.
I don't know if you got to meet their coach, Mark Pope, when he was here a year ago. He was the head coach of Utah Valley.
Yeah, briefly, and I remember when he was a player.
And I remember after that game when Utah Valley played here, I'd heard about him for years, and I remember when he played here, as you do. I went over to talk to him at their locker room, and I thought, if this guy was Arizona's coach, he would be off the charts popular. But then again, he's got to be able to recruit. And at the same time, he would inherit Arizona's recruiting platform. So why couldn't he recruit here? Why couldn't you have a happy, you know, friendly guy like that? And you know, changing the way you play here.
Right, right. We'll see what happens. I mean, it's just, you're very strange. I mean, the youth story was very good. It started back in the day with the Michigan guys. It hasn't really succeeded if you want to win a title.
Yeah, when you look back on it now, it's, what is it, 27 years ago or so, those Michigan guys had two super, super guys. I mean, Chris Webber, he took it to a different level. So Michigan got to the final, to the very final game before the one-and-done era started.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if Arizona had the equivalent of Chris Webber this year, I think they would be in the top five right now, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you'd assume that because of the talent. Yeah. But we both know and been in the business a long time to know that talent doesn't always win the day.
Yeah, we've seen that in the last
20 years.
2017.
Right, right.
You get to Sweet 16 against Xavier and don't pull it off. And then the next year when you have DeAndre Ayton and all those guys, you lose to Buffalo in the first game. Yep. So what you just said was right on.
Yeah, let me say, we've gone to games collectively together, probably 1,400 games, probably collectively in 30-some years. I don't remember. Maybe there is one. How it ended on Saturday, just more bizarre than that.
I was trying to
wait. No. Give me a second. Let me rephrase that. Maybe the San Diego kid who fouled intentionally that shouldn't have. Tell me. In the NIT a few years back under the penalty era. He missed a shot against UConn that would have gotten to the Final Four. Doesn't shot.
Oh, yeah, Jamel Horn.
The most bizarre move ever.
Yeah.
When he didn't, you know, he fouled intentionally, and what the heck was he thinking? So that one and this one over the weekend kind of rival in terms of crazy.
Yeah, I searched my mind for it, and you know, the one I came up with that was crazy but with a good finish was, and I don't think you were here yet, was the 94-foot pass.
Oh.
Was deflected. Craig McMillan picks it up and lays it in at the buzzer, and Arizona stuns, you know, then the ranking power of the league, Oregon State, and it basically triggered Arizona's run at the top of the league. That's the only kind of an end game, the one that might have happened on Saturday. So that was 35 years ago.
Right. Didn't Eddie Smith have one too? Something like that?
He had a game at Arizona State when they were down by 7 with 35 seconds to go. before the shot clock, before the three-pointer, and he had 2 3-point plays in those last 35 seconds. And that was probably, that might be the most hard-to-believe finish that I can remember here.
There's one like that, Washington State, Damon was a senior, down 10.
You're right. That was, you could talk a half hour about that game because, number one, it started at 10 o'clock Tucson time.
right. Before the internet.
I was on deadline with John Wilner, and you know how you go. We're hoping the game ends as soon as possible under any circumstances. We don't care who wins or loses. And then was it Damon who banked in the three-pointer?
Yes.
And it goes into overtime, and suddenly, for the only time in my life, 40 years in this business, we call the sports hitter, and he goes, "We're holding the presses, boys."
Yeah. Well, and the guys, the crowd at the Washington State threw coins. Maybe they got an extra foul shot, I think it was. They got a technical. It was a crazy game.
Yeah, technical on the crowd basically sent the game into overtime. Then Arizona wins 114-111. And I remember driving, as you do, back to Spokane at like 2 in the morning in an ice storm. And then having to get up at 6 a.m.
to catch a flight
to Seattle the next day, yeah.
Right. Now, no, those were scary days. Scary days. Great moments. Let's take a break here and come back on the other side. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Great. Thanks much. That's a great answer. Big hit back. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm your host, Steve Rivera, and with me is Greg Hansen of the Arizona Daily Star. Let's go back real quick to the game on Saturday, and I talk about being bizarre. How was it for you having to write it probably on deadline and seeing what was going on?
Well, my first priority is always thinking about myself and the deadline. So I wanted something to decide as soon as possible, but once it got to that stage, it was so captivating that, number one, I wanted to see Christian Coloco win the game because he seems like such a good kid.
Right.
I felt so bad when he missed. And you know, win or lose, that was one of the reasons why college basketball thrives here. It was just such a, I mean, the game was just so terrific, wasn't it?
No question. And it to your point, it came from a senior who was unstoppable.
Yeah. He's, you know, sitting there as close as we get to sit and watching him put the pressure every single possession. I mean, he was a threat every possession to get to the bucket. And I just can't remember many guys in the league who put that kind of pressure on you. I was thinking, remember when Aaron Brooks was Oregon's point guard and they had an Elite Eight season?
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't as forceful as Pritchard, but he came to mind immediately as a visiting team guard who could dictate a game. And remember the game? He beat Arizona here with the last second drive to the bucket.
Yeah. The guy that I remember, maybe is too close because he was right in front of us, was Jason Terry's 1999. He controlled that team and scored it because he had to. There was no other choice.
Yeah, and he kept the ball, and I think the other four players on the court wanted to keep the ball.
Yep.
That even began in the season opener that year. Remember, he hit a jumper like right
Tennessee.
At the buzzer. Yeah, Tennessee. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Tennessee. I think it was in New Mexico. Yeah, no, that's what started the whole role of him being who he became his senior year. But Pritchard, fantastic player. Imagine if Arizona had somebody like him. Yeah, well, you can imagine. I hate hypotheticals, but unbelievable game. What do you think is going to happen moving forward tonight, this weekend?
I was looking at the schedule of all the contenders, and I'm thinking UCLA, Oregon, and Colorado are going to tie at 13-5. I think they're all going to win out, and that's 13-5 for those three. And the tiebreaker, I guess, would go to – it wouldn't go to UCLA. Oregon and Colorado split, so I don't know who would get it. Not that it really matters.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there'll be a three-way tie at 13-5. And unless you believe that Arizona State's going to sweep in L.A. this week.
No.
Probably not.
No. But given the fact, though, that I think that Hurley's done a fantastic job after starting getting crushed by Arizona. Because did you go to the ASU game? here?
Oh, yeah.
Didn't you think that that was one of the worst ASU teams you've seen in a while?
I was thinking, other than Remy Martin, none of those players would start for Arizona.
No.
And would have never started for Arizona, except for last year's team, going back to 1986. And now here they are, well, because Alonzo Verge is legit. I mean, he's emerged. He can score. He's one of the best 10 players in the league right now, don't you think?
Yeah, yeah.
And that has changed everything because suddenly those other guys like Martin get open shots. Verge, to me, changed the season for Arizona State and changed the complexion of the league.
It's
National Junior College Player of the Year. Boy, if Arizona had Alonzo Verge now, I don't think they'd give him the freedom to do what he's doing at ASU, but
well,
he's a player.
It's funny, I was just going to ask you after that conversation, that who would you count on for Arizona to score? Outside of the obvious Zeke, but his whole game has changed in the last 2-3 months.
I was watching so closely every possession against Oregon. Whenever he got the ball, there's no way he could score, and they weren't fouling him either, so they shut him off. And if Oregon did that once, and the other coaches in the league are watching that film, why can't they do the same?
Right, right. Well, if he's the guy, who's number two?
Well, my answer would be Max Hazard, but...
Right, right.
His psyche is so fragile, it's not going to be Max Hazard. But isn't that why they recruited him?
Right.
So he could put a dagger in you late in the game, but heck, he never gets a chance to put a dagger in anybody in these close games.
Right, or very rarely during the game.
Yeah, he hit 1-3 in the middle of the Oregon game, and I thought, hey, maybe this is a game he returns after 6 weeks, you know, in the isolation ward, and he didn't make a peep again the rest of the game.
Right. It's been a bizarre year. We've seen some bizarre years over our years, but this is one of those ones that kind of is head scratcher, yet not a head scratcher given the circumstances of what we see with the kids playing. I just wouldn't do it with the freshmen, but I guess you have no choice if you're trying to win right away.
Well, looking at the big picture, what happens next year?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let me ask you something, because I know you probably know my philosophy. Recruiting, I hate it. I absolutely hate it because it means nothing until they get here. And even when they get here, it means nothing because now you have to perform. What are your thoughts on all the hoopla and blah, blah, blah with the recruiting situation?
I would put it in these terms. If you recruited Judd Bushler now and Matt Muehlbach now, and you had 2 years, a year and a half to wait, you would have a team that could go deep.
Right.
But what are the chances that, number one, they would recruit a Judd Bushler or a Matt Muehlbach? Almost zero.
You'd have Dayton.
Yeah. That's, you know, we're old guys. We saw it. And we saw how they developed, and the game was different then. But, man, if Arizona had Judd Bushler this year, the senior Judd Bushler, they would have almost clinched the Pac-12 title already.
Mm-hmm. They did it with him back then.
Yeah. He was the MVP in the conference tournament that year, and he wanted the ball. He wasn't afraid to get the ball on the last possession of the game, and you knew he would do something smart and something brave, and it was just different.
Right.
And there are no more Judd Bushlers at Arizona.
Right, we're like two old men talking about the good old days. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
Hey, let's talk about the women's team real quick with McDonald and the group there. What a magical year to this point. We'll see if she plays this weekend. But, hey, you might see a very good run by these women here locally if they get a bid here.
If they split this week and then win one game in the Pac-12 tournament, I would think it's almost assured they would host the first two rounds of the tournament. And, you'd have to like their chances to get to the Sweet 16. They've been to one Sweet 16 in history, so that tells you what level they're playing at. And I think they have a decent chance to beat Stanford tomorrow if Ari plays. And yesterday, Adia said Ari is playing. So if she can move like she always does, like at jet speed,
mm-hmm.
and I like their chances.
Right. No, I agree with you. If you haven't seen her yet in person, they have to go see her because those chances are, what, two more, maybe another game in the tournament, and they're waning. Who knows if she's coming back?
Yeah, that was I thought that might come up, and obviously it has now. And, boy, I mean, in the big picture, it's like, to me, it's like Kadeem Carey leaving a year early for the NFL. If he had stayed his senior year, I know carrying the ball that many times was a problem, but he would have been an all-time legend in Tucson. Instead, he jumped early, and, you know, his pro career didn't work out, and people remember him as a really, really good player. But that final of the year when you can just hit the zenith, Terry McDonald could do that next year. Arizona would be a top 10 team all year if she comes back.
Right.
If she doesn't, it's not going to be that way.
Right. Maybe she's helped establish something that's very good here. I think that's the case. To what level, we'll see, because you never know how they mesh or how they get together or how they play together. But she is, no question, the heart and soul of that team. Should be fun. Are you going to follow the guys or the girls, or women, here in a couple weeks?
The girls, for sure. I think that's a more compelling story. And it's not like the bandwagon's full yet. They maybe only will get 7,500 tomorrow night. It's funny saying only. A year ago, if they had got 2,200, you'd have went, oh, that's a pretty good crowd.
Right. What have you done for me lately? You know, it should be a lot of fun and great stories to tell because you have access to them.
Yeah, like yesterday, Sam Thomas came in and Alonzo came in, and they're cheerful, they're informative, and you just wonder why all, you know, the U of A football and U of A basketball programs don't follow the same lead. It's just the news gets transported to a fan base in a better manner and with more information, and, you know, it's just sad it doesn't happen for men's basketball and football.
No, I agree with you totally. We've talked about that in the past. Let's move to football real quick now that you brought it up. Spring practice starts next week. Let me get over my yawn real quick. And I'm sure you feel the same way. Maybe not.
Yeah. Really. I mean, what are you going to look forward to in
your baseball? I have no idea. Gunnell that one time, and that's about it.
Yeah, I saw, and I know, but this is John Willer. He knows a lot. He had his spring rundown the other day, and he picked both divisions, and he picked Arizona to win three games and finish last. And I think that's probably what most people would say.
Yeah, we did this here, I think, and we went like 3-8, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's generous. If they win the fourth game, we couldn't find it.
Yeah, and if Gunnell gets hurt.
Oh.
You know.
Oh. Then you could forget about going to Saturday night games. You could get dinner reservations with the wife.
Yeah, I mean, they got to do something different because it's not working.
No, definitely not. And whoever's going to be the marketing guy, God bless you. In fact, we talk about this here. You've seen the ads locally with regards to the basketball team advertising for tickets.
Yeah.
Holy moly, that's what we've come to.
Yeah, next week, if Arizona... I'm not trying to look at the negative part of this, but say Arizona doesn't win this weekend in Los Angeles. They come home to play Washington State in Washington. Do you think they'll get 12,000 fans to both games?
Probably not.
But what goes around comes around, too. I was watching the Utah game. They were home last weekend. You know, it seats 15,000. They announced their attendance at 9,000. It was probably 4,000. And then last night I was watching Utah at Stanford, and you were there when Maples Pavilion was the
place to be, yes.
Did you see it last night?
No, I did not. Don't make me.
Utah at Stanford on a Wednesday night, and I'm not joking, 2,000.
Yeah, no, that was the place to be. The bouncing floor, the crazy games, Montgomery versus Lute, Tiger Woods there. Come on. Hey, we almost got killed a couple of times with the kids trampling us.
It was, you know, where the was it called the six-man army?
Yeah.
That's no longer the six-man army. It's just like 300, you know, residents sitting there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's more interesting to study now than go to the games.
Yeah, just, although next year at this time, I really believe Stanford could win the league if all their guys come back.
In hoops?
All those good young guys.
Yeah.
If DeSilva comes back and those two terrific freshman guards come back, Maples could be full again.
Yeah. Well, those were the good old days back in the day. We'll see. Haas is a pretty good coach. We'll see what happens. We have more pressing issues here.
Yeah. You can imagine the amount of news that's going to come out between now and next October.
Wow. Yeah. Good luck with that. Well, we'll see what happens. Hey, Greg, thanks for joining me. We'll see you soon.
Thank you, Steve.
All right. That was Greg Hansen of the Arizona Daily Star. I always love talking the good old days with Greg. Let's come back here and talk a little bit more for the final break. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, your host. Good to talk to Greg Hansen, my boy Tom. The Dow was down 1,200 points today. You see that? You know how much money I lost?
I did see that. Zero. You lost $0.
You know why?
You don't have
I don't have any money. But you have money in the game. You can't lose in the game.
I lost my shirt once.
You did?
Yeah.
You find another shirt?
Yeah, I did.
Put it on, baby, because, you know, it's not a pretty sight.
All my shirts have holes in them.
Because you don't have any money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, sorry to see that the plunge of the Dow Jones. We'll see what happens tonight. Arizona's a 5-point favorite in the Galen Center against USC. They think they're 5-1 in the league at home, so we'll see what gives. USC is not half bad in the home arena. And then Arizona might be looking ahead to what do we call it there, Tom?
What's that?
The next game.
Oh, the trap game?
The trap game. That's when a team looks forward to the game ahead and doesn't pay attention to the one in front of them, because the game on Saturday is a biggie.
That's often what happens to me with you, Steve. I'm looking forward to the next break,
yeah,
and I'm not paying attention to what's going on, so, you know, sure, it happens. I get trapped.
You're looking forward to your day off without me.
Not necessarily, because I don't get paid. Remember that whole previous discussion about having? Yeah.
Yeah, well, now is the time to buy because it's low.
Yeah.
At least that's what I'm told.
Yeah.
That's all the economics 101.
Yes.
Buy low, sell high.
But again, you have to have money to buy.
Yes, I do it on my good looks. Then again, that's why I have no money.
Hmm. How far is that getting you?
It's getting me to the bathroom.
Okay.
To the restroom.
There you go.
Should be fun this weekend. Tomorrow's game with Stanford, the women, should be good. It starts at 6, I think. So we'll be here. So we'll watch it here and update scores and things like that. I was going to try to go, and I figured out, well, I'm not going to rush like I do for the men's game because it's just too much, too crazy to get there.
Yeah, we're not super close here. We're not far, but we're not super close.
No, we're about 17 minutes away, because I've done it 3 or 4 times when I've rushed to the game. Get there right about halftime and get ready for the second half. We'll see. I don't have a feeling for tonight's game, good or bad. I just know it's going to be difficult.
Okay.
I actually am leaning more to a win because but they've always played well when they've had to. Like Oregon, they played. I like the team after the Oregon game because they played hard. They just didn't hit the free throws. This game, I'm not sure they're going to play hard because they need to be motivated. I'm not sure this is a game that motivates them. Saturday, yes.
Truth be told, they need to play hard in all 4 remaining games heading into the tournament.
They needed to play hard since November 15th or whatever the first game started.
Yeah, there's no switch that you can just magically flip. You've got to pick it up.
No, he said the margin for error on this team, like the one from last year, isn't big. And if you have to switch on and off, that's not a very good sign.
Yeah.
You said you've covered 20 teams in your capacity as a 20 teams?
Sure.
I'm sure half of them have been those teams that had to switch it on and off, and 20 that just, or another 10 that would have to say, let's just show up and play. But even those guys had to switch it on because emotionally, in fact, I'm going to have a guy about emotional stuff in sports. That's tough to deal with because you're not always going to be up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's why I always find it interesting in the pro ranks when a guy faces his former team
mm-hmm.
and elevates his performance. I'm like, so you could be that player all the time, but you're not.
Right, right. Good point.
You know, you just, and it, but it's weird psychologically what that can do to a player.
Yeah, what drives you. Yeah, yeah, you're right.
When you're motivated.
Well, it's like the players in their contract year.
Yeah, yeah, that's another one.
Yeah.
Guys are like, oh, I want to get paid this year.
Yeah, I better show up and play.
All of a sudden, all your averages go up. Your numbers look much better.
That's how I do it here. I better enunciate better.
Are you in a contract show?
Yes, I have to speak slowly and enunciate better. That's how I normally talk.
And we'll be right back. Steve will be talking clearer.
Yes, yes. Well, 2-3 weeks ago, I was like on death's bed with you punching the cough button. Like crazy.
I'm glad you're feeling better.
Oh, yes, I feel better. This coronavirus, not so good. So what else is going on?
Well, we've got baseball and softball are kind of still doing their thing. It's early yet.
It's way early, yeah.
Yeah, it's early.
Baseball lost last night.
Yeah. And, you know, so it's funny, Steve, I missed the show yesterday. I was working a spring training game for the Cubs, and I don't know why, but I kind of got off on this little sidetrack of thinking about the Indians and spring training here in Tucson. And it's just, I understand why they're all packed into the Phoenix area because it's just easier logistically.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But man, there's just something about, you know, I wish we had that element here. But baseball fans, don't ignore, you know, the things that do come to town, like the World Baseball Classic qualifiers, like the University of Arizona baseball team. I mean, I love baseball. I love the sport, and I'm probably, you know, in a smaller and smaller segment of the population that does. But
It full? Was it packed?
So funny story. Apparently, every game except this one, for whatever reason, has been packed. But this game that I was at Wednesday afternoon, they had 9,000 people there, which still sounds like a lot, but it was 6,000-7,000 short of capacity.
Oh, really?
And the conversation in the press box was, why is this place not packed? It's normally packed. Why is it not packed?
It was colder than usual, probably, up in Phoenix.
It was. It was cold and windy.
It was 73.
It might have been in the high 60s, honestly. The heat kicked on in the press box.
Yeah. The heat
kicked on.
It's funny because that's ideal.
But it's the Cubs, man. Everybody wants to see the Cubs. Everybody loves the Cubs.
Team dropper.
Everybody from Chicago comes down here. But just saying, like, it's hard to get tickets to a Cubs spring training game even.
Right, right.
Most of the other teams, you could just roll right up to the box office.
Yeah. How early did you get there?
Well, I had to get there 2 hours before the game to sign in and get my stuff going. I was working for the TV crew. But even getting there 2 hours before, there were still some people there at 11 a.m.
Yeah. I haven't been to a spring training game in, I can't remember how many years, because when they left, I, you know, and me in sports these days, not a friendly foe.
Yeah.
Only because of, you know, I know how the sausage is.
You're right, right.
And it's not that fun. Just talk about it now. Go to games here and say, what the heck is going on? What the heck is going on?
I wish I could pick up Keno Stadium and move it anywhere else.
Then in the city?
Yeah.
Downtown?
Maybe, I mean, downtown, midtown, north side, somewhere near the highway, even on the south side. It's kind of near the highway, but it's kind of a pain to get to.
You know better, because you would go to the game. No,
I do. I went to the soccer games for FC Tucson. One of the first things I did when I moved to town was go to an FC Tucson game.
Yeah.
Out there at Keno. And, I mean, I was living in midtown at the time. Now, granted, I don't know the city. I just got here. I've been here all of a week. But I decided to GPS my way down and go to an FC Tucson game.
Yeah.
So it's, I do wish it was a little easier for people to get to.
I think a lot of people wish that, have wished it for 20 some years now, because it was put in a place that not a lot of people like. I see no problem with it, only because it's probably just in people's minds that it's in a bad area. But let's take a call real quick. Matt, are you on the line? You there, Matt?
Yep, I'm here.
Hi, Matt.
So I was at an alumni thing up in Chandler a couple of weeks ago, and I know we're getting short on time here. Terry Francona was a speaker, and he told a couple of interesting stories. One was that he thinks that he is the only player who played with as a teammate and for as a player, Pete Rose.
And did he have a Pete Rose story?
No, not too
that's,
much.
That you could say on the radio.
He compared a little bit to the Astros thing, you know.
Right.
Anyway, the other story is that he told was that I guess some of his players in Boston would have a little toast before the game, and he thought it was, you know, beer or something. And so they, hey, coach, come over, you know. So he goes over, and he realizes they're not toasting. It's not beer. It's not soda. It's like Jack Daniels, right? And so one of his assistants says to him after the game, you know, in the fourth inning when they were playing the organ music in between the innings, your hips were kind of swaying a little bit there, Jerry. So thought that was kind of a funny story.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of things that going on in that dugout in the clubhouse.
Right.
Hey,
no,
so
it's really good. It was neat hearing him speak.
So I'm going to pick your brain real quick. Are they winning? Are Juve winning tonight?
Probably, yeah.
Probably, yeah. Thank you. I'm calling my bookie now. Could you put $5, probably, yeah, on the Cats?
For entertainment purposes only. Yeah, I think they'll win tonight.
Do you? Okay. I don't know. Maybe you'll call me tomorrow and tell me how they're going to do Saturday, too. Probably,
The UCLA game, I wouldn't say probably, yeah. I'd say, well, I'm going to watch and see.
I hope your wife didn't say, you know, will you marry me? Probably, yeah. That's not too convincing.
Well, look at the record, man.
So
I think it's likely they will win tonight, and I think Saturday it's less likely that they will win.
Yeah.
How's that?
That's better, Matt. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling. Hey, thanks for listening, man. Take care, Matt. Hey, that's another day. I won't see you till next week, right?
That is correct, Steve. It is now my weekend.
Yeah, shame on you.
Shame on me.
Shame on you. I have to be here with other Tom tomorrow. So we'll call it a day.
Yeah, but you know what? Tomorrow should be an interesting show. You get to look back at whatever does happen tonight. Probably, yeah.
Yeah, you probably. Take care, everybody, here on 10:30 The Voice. We'll see you tomorrow.